Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Okay, I'm going to give you, Paul Tonko, a whole bunch of things which are troublesome to many people in the United States. And it will be your right to take them in any order you like and then to sort of discuss them for us, okay? So I'm going to name them. Here we go.
This is a quiz of sorts.
In other words, yeah, you got a blue book. You know, you do whatever you like here. It's an old college professor. I know what that's like. Passenger rail reform, okay. Water infrastructure in this country. We see California going under right now. And all of the other infrastructure issues that need to be addressed.
Sure. Well, the lumping of all of those into infrastructure is an order of investment that we can ill afford to walk away from. And it troubles me that we've seen the flags up for a long time. We know the concerns are out there. It's good for commerce. So for Republicans who claim to be pro-business, where are you for the basic core needs of infrastructure?
So where are they?
Not to be found. Because
why?
Because I think it comes down to an element within their majority that says we cannot grow government. Government's the problem. It's too bloated. Well, I say document what you've done to the domestic side of the equation in a budget. We have not committed to investments for America that are essential. Let me walk through some of the roads and bridges issues. That effort to provide for public safety, we just celebrated, commemorated, the 28th, I believe, anniversary of the collapse of the Thruway Bridge this early April.
I'll never forget it.
Right. And we lost 10 lives. Lost 10 lives. A bridge that traverses a very shallow creek was dealing with a CFS, a flow of water that was equated to Niagara Falls. And the infrastructure was swept out. That drew a lot of attention nationally to the requirements for maintenance of our infrastructure and design of new infrastructure. We need, with the number of bridges that are rated in deficient or poor categories, these areas have to be addressed. We know what happens when we walk away. On the rail infrastructure, the most energy efficient travel in this country is by rail. And we should combine our energy, environment, economic development concepts, our policy silos, into a greater framework so that we're encouraging mass transportation in an energy efficient outcome. That's where rail is essential. We had people in the House again, in the majority, who were voting to zero out Amtrak assistance, when in fact we should be working in partnership with rail so as to develop a stronger passenger rail opportunity that can create a Montreal to New York, Boston to Chicago corridor that will really give this nation a chance to prosper. It gives individuals and families what they need. It gives commerce what it needs. With the water infrastructure, and I'll look at the drinking water infrastructure, which falls under the tutelage of the Subcommittee of Environment and Economy under the Grand Committee of Energy and Commerce. I'm the ranking Democrat on the Environment and Economy Subcommittee. I've been doing tours on drinking water infrastructure in the 20th Congressional District. We're sitting on situations that are out of sight, out of mind. If you think of it, we trade our phones, our cell phones in every year because they're getting antiquated or worn. We trade in a car every 3 years. We get 100,000, 200,000 miles. We say, got to trade it in. We take our TVs and trade those in for a higher tech model that is more energy efficient. There's energy efficiency that can be achieved in drinking water treatment operations. So why are we sitting on, instead of a 1 year, 3 year, 5 year trade in, we're sitting on a 140-year situation of infrastructure plant out there. In our tours, when we toured Schenectady, I was informed by their operations group there that Schenectady, is sitting on 240 miles of pipe. Albany, 317, I believe, just the city. Now, Albany, you can drive from Albany to just about Washington. That's the linear for the pipe that's under the ground. They had the loss of 8 million gallons in March of this year on Central Avenue. We need a master plan that speaks to the investment in infrastructure, be it roads and bridges as a traditional implication, over to rail, over to not only drinking water, but water sewer systems. We're an old infrastructure, even especially in the Northeast. We have got to tackle that problem head on with state-of-the-art technology. When you see a water main break, that's not just water flowing out of that pipe. It's water plus dollars plus electrons. It takes a lot of energy to treat these water supplies for acceptable use for drinking water or for commerce, where they're public health regulated in many industries. And it also requires tax dollars for the investment in the pipe and all.
So what's the political will, our
will? Well, we will see. I am putting together a template that I hope I will have my colleagues sharing so they go to their individual districts, their respective districts, and across this country we raise the public consciousness of what's happening out there. We've seen record numbers of breaks in the water infrastructure, water pipe infrastructure. We need to put a plan together that will allow for addressing this 100, 125, 140 years after a lot of this infrastructure was placed. You know, you look at a number of the pumping stations, you'll see 1930s vintage architecture that houses these pumping stations. You'll see post-World War II. So you saw these eras of commitment by this country to what is a national issue. The United Nations proclaimed pristine drinking water a human right. And so while you had the 30s and the 50s, there's a leapfrogging of 20 years. Where were we in the 70s? Where were we in the 90s? And now where are we in the present moment? We have allowed these 20-year spans to elapse, and it's a ticking time bomb. I was also shown pipes that were taken out from the communities that burst. When you look at the calcification in those pipes, they're rendering like a 6-inch pipe to be a 3 or 4-inch pipe.
Wow.
So we have much work to be done. And this whole mantra of government too big, government's the problem. Government needs to step up to the plate for this infrastructure. And drinking water is a right, sound drinking water. And I look at the food industries like Beechnut that has a huge supply of water need. You can't fail in this effort. We have to make certain that we put together the infrastructure needs of this country in a sound way. Otherwise, it's passing it on to the next generations, some yet unborn. And that is morally wrong, and it's going to be much more expensive. So we know what we have to do. We know that there's a need for great review and oversight and to learn just what is the best format. When I was at NYSERDA, at the State Energy Research and Development Authority, we received national awards for energy efficiency and water efficiency at water treatment facilities. So we know there's a cutting-edge best way to do this, and we're going to bring the players to the table, and we're going to do, hopefully, tours throughout the country on just what is happening in our communities.
Paul Tonko, we love having you with us. You're a good guy, and I hope that those Republicans in Congress are treating you with the respect you deserve.
Well, we'll see. But it's always good to speak out forcefully for your district and guide yourself with facts, not fiction.